Rows of old film studio buildings reflected in a shiny gold surface. As the surface turns, it's revealed to be the edge of the Warner Brothers shield. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. Six shimmering metallic V-shapes sit within each other. Light pours from the gaps between them. Below them a caption, Village Roadshow Pictures. In the silence of the garden. Lines from elegantly handwritten letters move in and out of focus. The black ink drifts and floods from the words as if floating in water. Fragments of sentences and addressed envelopes drift by. Grow dim. I can't seem to make you mine. Warner Brothers Pictures presents, in association with Village Roadshow Pictures, a Vertigo Entertainment production, an Alejandro Agresti film. Let the crap pull you away through the river and the rain. An attractive young woman with light brown eyes, dark brown hair and a fringe is staring dreamily into space. She closes her eyes for a moment. She has long eyelashes. The woman, Kate Forster, is indoors. She's wearing a red coat and jeans. She slings a bag over her shoulder and walks to the door of a light, spacious, modern house with an old maple tree growing up through a space in the middle of it. A dog follows her. Keanu Reeves. Sandra Bullock. Kate opens the front door and steps outside, but the dog stops.
You coming or not?
The lake house. Kate goes to a bronze Ford Mustang, boxes stacked on top of the boot. Her small, scruffy dog follows. She puts a letter in a freestanding mailbox and looks out over a lake where the house sits on stilts. Glass walls zigzag their way around the light, airy structure, which appears to float on the water. A railed walkway links the house to the bank. Kate drives away along a tree-lined road. Dylan Walsh, Shore Agdashlu, Ebon Moss Bakrach, Lynn Collins, Wilecki Van Amelroy, and Christopher Plummer. Seasons change. There are patches of snow on the ground as a light blue Chevy pickup loaded with boxes drives towards the lake house along the tree-lined road. Costume designer Dina Appel. Music by Rachel Portman. Co-producer Sunny Malhi. Edited by Lindsay Klingman, ACE, Alejandro Brodesson. A casually dressed guy of about 40 gets out of the pickup and walks towards the lake house. Production designer Nathan Crowley. Director of photography Ala Cavillo, ASC, CSC. Executive producer Mary McLaglen. Executive producers Erwin Stoff, Dana Goldberg, Bruce Berman. Based on the motion picture Il Mare, produced by Sidus. The guy, Alex Weiler, stands looking across at the lake house. Produced by Doug Davison and Roy Lee. Screenplay by David Auburn. Directed by Alejandro Agresti. At a hospital. An elevator door opens and Kate walks along a corridor holding an umbrella and a white coat in a polythene bag. She goes to a reception desk where doctors pass to and fro.
Excuse me. Yeah, just a minute, okay?
She gives Kate a form.
Just fill this out for me and wait over there.
No, I'm Dr. Forster. I was told to report here.
You'll be covering 22 patients on rounds today, these four and the next.
22?
Quiet morning. If you get into trouble, beep me. But don't make it a habit. The med students will help you out with Scott work. What's he doing here? I ordered an MRI. Stat.
Transport said about 4 hours.
He could be dead in 4 hours. Never mind. Dr. Forster, MRI. That's right, two lefts, elevator to two. Follow the signs. I'll sit back here for rounds.
Dr. Clute.
Kate's left with an old man.
Are you taking me somewhere?
I certainly hope so, sir. How are you feeling today?
Am I going to make it?
Yes. Absolutely.
Alex is working on a construction site when a woman, Mona, runs up.
Alex! I made my famous spinach pie! The trailer's nice and toasty!
I can't!
He walks along a mound. She runs alongside.
Look, it's really cold out here. Don't get sick on me or anything.
I never get sick.
So, I heard you bought a house, and apparently I'm the last one to know.
I thought I mentioned that.
Wait.
Mona totters up the mound.
Where?
Outside of town, up the shore a little bit.
Up the shore? There's no houses. Oh, God. You don't mean that thing with the...
She nearly tumbles over.
You all right?
Yeah. Are you crazy? Why would you take that house, Alex? It's made of glass. There's no privacy.
Mona.
Huh?
Get yourself some boots.
Smiling, he walks off. Kate walks along a corridor looking at some notes. She stops.
4:30. You lost?
Yeah.
Takes a while to get your bearings. I'm Madvy.
Kate Forrester.
Wrong floor. Where'd you do your residency?
Just a little community hospital up on the North Shore.
Nighttime at the lake house. There are still patches of snow on the ground. Alex walks away from his pickup carrying a large box. He falters for a moment and walks over to the freestanding mailbox. He opens the door of the long metal box, takes out a letter, and goes inside. He sits reading the letter.
Dear new tenant, welcome to your new home. As a previous tenant, let me say, I hope you'll like living here as much as I did. I filed the change of address with the post office, but you know what a crapshoot that can be, so if anything slips through, would you please do me a favor and forward my mail? I'd appreciate it. My new address is below. Thanks in advance. P.S.
Sorry about the paw prints by the front door. They were there when I moved in. Same with the box in the attic.
Alex steps onto the walkway.
Paw prints? What the hell is she talking about?
He walks along the wooden slats, which have no paw prints on them. Later, Alex pokes his head up through the attic hatch and has a look. There's an old ladder and some odds and ends strewn around, but no box. Kate walks into her new apartment with her dog, Jack.
Hey, baby girl. Hi. Hey.
Kate walks through to the kitchen and flicks a switch. An overhead light comes on but flickers intermittently. Kate looks up frowning, then stares at the fridge.
Fix a light. Get dog food, huh? Get human food.
Wearing a parka, Alex trudges across the muddy ground and heaves two big tubs of paint into the back of his pickup. The lake house's geometric form spreads out symmetrically at the end of the central wooden walkway. Alex walks around on the roof. The small scruffy dog trots up as Alex is kneeling on the walkway, painting the railings. The dog walks up and steps into the paint tray, then carries on towards the house, leaving paw prints on the slats. Alex gets up and follows the dog, then stops and looks down at the paw prints.
Hey, come here!
Alex climbs back into the attic. He picks up and rereads Kate's letter. In Daly Plaza, Chicago, Kate and her mother sit at the base of a monumental sculpture.
60 degrees on Valentine's Day. Can't be Chicago.
The TV says it's global warming. The icebergs start melting. Water covers the earth. Thank God, we don't live to see it.
A book.
What's this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nothing. It's one of your father's.
Dostoevsky?
Oh, yeah. It's about a guy who breaks the neck of a poor woman with an axe and so far keeps wandering around regretting it.
She opens up her sandwich. Mm.
This is good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Really good.
Kate smiles thoughtfully at her mother.
What are you thinking?
Kate shakes her head and grins.
Nothing.
When your father passed away, it was hard, still is hard. Holding his books, I feel like he's with me somehow, knowing that he was once on the same pages, reading the same words.
A bus slams into a station wagon. Kate pulls out her phone and runs over to a man sprawled in the road.
I'd like to get the foundation on number 17 dug today.
At the site.
I know you're kind of new around here, kid.
What?
I can't get to 17 until at least next week.
Come on, Mulhern, that's bullshit and you know it. Take Clemens and Rodriguez off the roof. Jorge can run the backhoe they're not using on 14. And grab four or five of those other guys who are sitting around doing nothing on 7 and 10. Paulie, Carlos, Frank, Danny, and what's his name? Talking.
Raphael.
Let's go.
Okay.
Short, fat Mulhern beckons some workers over.
Hey!
At the hospital, Kate's sitting in a staff room staring at the floor when a colleague, Anna, comes in. She walks up, sits beside her, and touches her shoulder.
Hey. I heard about Daily Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
EMT said you fought hard with a guy.
Mm-hmm, yep. Really knocked myself out.
Kate, I'm going to tell you what I tell every young doctor. Hopefully you'll be the first to listen. On your day off, get as far away from this place as you can. Go someplace where you feel most like yourself.
Kate drives along a freeway with Jack in the passenger seat. Later, she walks along by the lake. Crisp autumn leaves cover the ground. Kate passes the mailbox and walks up to the end of the walkway. She stands looking at the lake house for a moment. The maple tree that grows in the middle of the house rises into a raised section of roof like the top of a greenhouse. The tree's branches are covered in golden leaves. Kate leads Jack away along the leaf-strewn ground. She goes to the mailbox. It's a long arched metal box on the top of a post. A little red metal flag at the side is raised. Kate pulls down the door and takes out an envelope. As she walks back to her car, Kate takes a letter out of the envelope. She sits in her car next to Jack and reads it.
Dear Ms. Forster, I got your note, and I'm afraid there must be some kind of misunderstanding. As far as I know, the lake house has been empty for several years. Maybe your note was intended for the Sandberg house down the shore.
Since no one has lived in this house for years. But I'm curious about the paw prints.
Kate looks around, then takes out a notebook and starts to write.
Dear Mr. Weiler, I'm very familiar with the Sandberg cottage, and I can guarantee I never lived there. I'm old-fashioned, but I don't think a cottage should be over 6,000 square feet. So, let me try again. I used to live at the lake house. Then I moved. Now I live at 1620 North Racine in Chicago. I'd appreciate it if you would forward my mail if you get any. Oh, by the way, it's 2006. Has been all year, ask anyone.
2006?
Under a sink.
What does it mean? 2006.
Alex unscrews a U-bend.
Oh, God.
An architectural practice.
Good morning, Mr. Weiler.
Good morning, Mr. Weiler.
Good morning,
morning.
Sir.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Mr. Weiler.
Mr. Weiler. Sir.
A young architecture student, Henry.
Obviously I derived my inspiration for the metaphor of the fugue, the loop.
Craggy, white-haired and besuited Simon Weiler holds his hand up to hush Henry. Several tables with architectural models on them are laid out in the spacious office. Simon, Henry and the rest of the group of students are gathered round Henry's project. Simon hums to himself as he studies it. A grand marble lobby.
2 hours of that shit.
What are you talking about? You didn't
sadistic,
say a word.
Bitter, bitter, bitter old man.
I think you're being a little overdramatic.
Henry sees something and walks away from his friend Vanessa.
Where are you going?
He ignores her and keeps walking. He goes through a revolving door and out onto the street. Alex is waiting outside by his old Chevy pickup truck. They slowly walk towards each other. They're both attractive men with neat dark brown hair. Alex is a little scruffier than Henry. They smile and slowly reach out their hands to each other. They shake hands and hug each other tightly. Alex steps back and has a good look at Henry, who points at the pickup truck.
I can't believe that thing's still running.
Alex glances at it.
Yep. You look like shit.
I missed you too.
Alex playfully slaps Henry on his shoulders, then sees Simon come out of the revolving doors. Alex walks after Simon, who turns to him, gives him a dismissive wave of the hand, and goes.
Hey, forget about it.
Alex looks down sadly. At the bar of the Green Mill Cocktail Lounge.
Condos.
Riviera Estates.
You're joking.
I don't believe this. I come back after 4 years,
Can I get this in front of me?
What?
My little brother thinking he's Frank Lloyd whatever.
Oh, come on.
Dad keeps you hostage in that little myth-making factory of his.
Whoa.
You still haven't built so much as a telephone booth or a hamster cage.
It's funny you say that, actually. I have a hamster cage in mind, a development of them, actually.
Ah.
Prefab, no foundations. What do you think about that?
See, that's what I'm talking about.
You have vision. Speaking of which, I'd like you to know, I bought a house.
Where?
On the lake.
You bought a lake house, so you are making some money.
Well, it's a dump, been abandoned for years.
Oh, so you got an abandoned, haunted lake. I guess, yeah, that's as good a reason as any for selling out and joining the Flabby Developers Guild.
How about this? I even got a dog.
You got a dog?
He just showed up at the house. From out of nowhere.
Later, they walk past an empty plot with construction vehicles parked on it. A signboard says 1620 North Racine, luxury apartments. Another board displays an image of a plush condominium.
What are we doing here?
I have to deliver a letter. You should be here. 1620 North Racine.
Alex looks at the letter.
But there's nothing here. Are we meeting someone? Does somebody live here? What?
Yeah. I thought so.
Should we ring the bell?
Henry pretends to. Next day, Alex walks up to the mailbox at the lake house, puts a letter in it and lifts the red flag. In her modern apartment, Kate reads the letter. She sits on her bed next to Jack, opens a box and goes through some old photographs.
Dear Ms. Forster, I went to 1620 North Racine, and it's not there. It's just a construction site. From the pictures, it looks nice, but not for another 18 months. What am I missing here? Maybe you got the address wrong, because I noticed you got the date wrong, too.
Really want to play this game. If you are truly in the year 2004...
She selects one.
Then...
A photo of friends playing in the snow.
Be forewarned.
It's dated 2004.
Remember that day? You were not happy. Remember that?
She shows it to Jack.
I know.
Okay, my mystery correspondent, I get it. Just in case you really are where and when you think you are, you'll need this. There was a freak late snow that spring, and everyone got sick. So, plenty of rest, lots of fluids. Doctor's orders.
Snow, right.
Kate enclosed a scarf with her letter. Alex pours himself some soup. Alex takes his bowl of steaming soup and a bottle of beer and goes to sit looking out of the window. Snow suddenly starts to fall. Alex plonks himself down on a bench and stares out, uncomprehending, at the passing flurries of snow. He sneezes into his hand, then looks out intensely. Snow falls through the night. Pale morning light glows on the still lake. The ground is white. Alex walks out of the lake house with the scruffy dog. Holding a letter, Alex tentatively reaches for the door of the snow-covered mailbox, grips the metal tab at the top, and pulls it open. He puts his letter in and closes the door. On a dry, sunny day, Kate takes the letter out, then closes the door and turns the red flag down. From the walkway, Alex sees the red flag turn down on its own. Alex stops and stares at the mailbox. Kate opens her letter. It just says, "Can this be happening?" A slight smile plays across her lips, and she looks towards the lake house. From the walkway, Alex sees the red flag rise up on its own. He runs back across the snow to the mailbox and pulls it open to find an envelope. Written on it is, "Why not?" Alex looks around, mystified. Kate walks back to her car.
Jackie.
Jack's waiting by the mailbox.
Jack. Jack, come on. Come on, girl. Come on. Come on. Jack.
The flag goes down. Kate looks concerned. She glances at the house. The flag pops up again. Kate looks around. Behind her are densely forested hills. The ground is dry, the day still sunny. She steps tentatively towards the mailbox. Jack sits beside the mailbox, keeping watch. Kate walks up to the mailbox and looks it over. She stoops down to have a closer look at the metal flag. Her hand hovers around the metal tab at the top of the door, which she quickly yanks open. Kate looks around again, then reaches inside the mailbox and takes out a piece of paper, which she reads.
Possible, I know. Not possible. But it's happening.
Alex stands by the mailbox, clutching a pen and a pad of paper to his chest. The flag goes up, and he opens the door.
Okay.
He takes out a piece of paper.
Where am I?
He looks towards the lake and writes on the paper. Kate's waiting by the mailbox. The flag goes up and she takes out a note.
Lake house. Lake house. Yes, well, as you can see, I too am at the lake house, but I'm getting a little tired of these games, so I'm going to be leaving, okay? Bye. Thank you, bye.
Kate's on a busy train.
Maybe we should introduce ourselves properly.
The guy next to Kate glances at her furtively and freshens his breath. Kate thinks.
I'm a doctor dedicated to curing the sick. At least trying to.
On site.
I'm an architect. I like to build. And while I wouldn't say my current project is ideal, it allows me to be here, in this place. And that's enough for now. But tell me something. If you're working in a hospital in Chicago now, where were you before, in my time?
2 years ago in your time, I was working in internal medicine in Madison.
In a private room with a patient.
Tell me about the future. What's it like in the year 2006?
I'm afraid the world's pretty much the same. Of course, we all dress in shiny metal jumpsuits and drive flying cars, and no one talks anymore because we can read each other's minds. But the truth is, man, from the past, not much has really changed in 2006.
Alex walks to the lake house.
Speaking of the past, though, I've been thinking about the paw prints. How is that possible?
Well, I think we have the same dog.
Oh, yeah? What's yours like? According to the vet, mine's 8 years old in my time. 6 in yours.
Alex sits reading.
She's skinny, has sad eyes, snores, and sleeps like a person. I don't know why, but I call her Jack.
Hello, Jack.
Jack flips over and stands up. At the hospital, Kate walks into a room where a little girl is lying in bed watching Cary Grant and Ingrid Bergman in the film Notorious on TV.
Hey.
What are you doing? You're supposed to be asleep.
The pretty little girl looks at Kate, then the loving couple on screen.
No, I don't like to come
in. Is she gonna marry him?
What do you think?
I don't know. He's kinda old.
Okay, he's not that old.
My mom's last boyfriend was bald. He was nice, but my mom didn't marry him.
No?
There's always something better coming around the corner. That's what she says. Maybe that's what that lady should do. Wait for something better to come around the corner.
Maybe.
Kate smiles.
But if she's not careful, she could spend her whole life waiting.
They both watch the lovers on the screen. Kate's at home.
Sorry I haven't made it to the mailbox lately. It's been a long week. All night shifts.
The lake house.
Good to hear from you. I thought you left me. You should know that you're my only connection to the future. How come we never talk about the things we like?
Well, let's see. Reading the classics to Jack.
Who's his favorite?
Dostoevsky.
For me, this city. On a day when the light is so clear that I can touch every detail, every brick and window in the buildings I love. Come on, take a walk with me. This Saturday, let me show you.
You're crazy. Why are you going through all this trouble for me?
No trouble. Summer's here. Walk down the
street. Using a map she found in the mailbox, Kate walks the grand streets of Chicago, gazing up at a mixture of elegant and monumental facades.
Okay. Your turn. Favorite things.
Where to start? Okay. When I smell the flowers before I see them. When it starts to rain, just as the picnic is ending. And I love the smell of Jack's paws.
You didn't forget to mention your husband, did you?
Oh, well, of course I love my husband, who is also a doctor, plastic surgeon, for small farm animals.
Good. I'm married, too. I've got 8 children, and none of them look like me. I'm worried, Kate.
I would be, too.
I'm single.
Me, too. Oh, wow. Number 27.
She's a beauty. My father used to tell me she was the grandma for all the houses in the city. He used to take me on walks like I'm taking you now.
Alex?
Kate.
I wish we could have done this walk together.
Kate stops and stares at graffiti on a wall. Kate, I'm here with you. Thanks for the lovely Saturday together. She smiles. Kate sits in a diner facing her mother, who reads one of Alex's letters.
So what do you think?
He sounds like a nice boy.
Sounds like a nice boy. Anything else?
He has wonderful penmanship.
Mother, look at the date on the letter. The date.
Oh, you mean the time thing?
Yes.
That's just a detail.
Just a detail?
Kate sighs wearily. Up amongst the ornate Art Deco towers of Chicago, Alex is in his father's apartment. Simon's up on a mezzanine level.
About the other day, it was not a good moment. I was in a hell of a hurry. Of course.
Alex holds up an LP record.
Some nice pieces here.
Oh, yeah. Music's fine. Music helps. It's like Nietzsche says, life would be senseless
without music.
I guess I told you that, huh? Pour yourself a drink. Can you appreciate a good wine by now?
You bet.
Simon sits.
You'll have to forgive your father for being curious, but where have you been all these years? I thought your Kerouac days were behind you.
I'm sorry, what?
What? Oh, you can come up if you like.
Alex drinks some red wine and goes up to the mezzanine level, which is lined with shelves crammed with books. Simon sitting at a table.
What are you working on?
Oh, I'm just remembering things. It's not such an easy job, let me tell you. Nor is it particularly innocent in my case. Your father is writing his memoirs.
Are we in it?
What do you think? Do you want to be?
Do you?
Of course. You were all a part of your father's life.
Why are you talking to me in the third person?
Well, I don't know. Because I'm writing about myself, I suppose. Why, doesn't it suit you?
Alex gives him 2 document tubes.
I thought you might like these.
Now, what are these? Something you've been working on?
No, they're yours. From a house I just bought. On the lake.
Oh, yes, I heard. They said some sleazy little condo developer snapped it up. Oh, come on. Indulge your father. Can't you take a little joke, for God's sake? Come on! Tell me. Where have you been? I really want to know.
I was trying to forget you. Or forgive you.
Alex looks at the floor.
Did you succeed?
Let me know if you need any help remembering.
Alex walks away.
Oh, yeah. I will.
At the hospital. Kate applies defibrillator paddles.
Hold compression, start bagging. It's got a rhythm. Slow. Do you have a pulse with that?
Got a pulse ready.
Long days these days.
Great.
I just work 30 hours straight. Every time I stop to take a breath, I realize how isolated I've let myself become. Believe me, you can get a bit desperate.
She plays chess with Jack, who nudges a piece.
That one? Okay. There you go. Nice move. Very nice. Nice.
Kate sits in front of a mirror.
It's not that I'm complaining. I love my work. And our tour through Chicago opened my eyes to its beauty. But my heart still misses the lake house. And its trees. I miss those trees so much.
Alex. Alex sits at the window of the construction site office, a corrugated iron cabin. He stares out at a group of tall saplings with clumps of earth around their roots, ready for planting. As evening closes in, Alex drives his pickup along a freeway with one of the trees in the back. The tender branches shake as the truck heads towards the city. At the corner plot where Kate's condo is about to be built sits the signboard with a picture of what it will look like on it. It's dark, and Alex drags his tree across the muddy ground in front of the picture. Kate runs through a rainstorm to her condominium, holding her coat on top of her head to keep herself dry. It's raining in 2004 as well. Alex has dug a hole in front of the corner plot. He plants the tree. Kate gets to the entrance of her building and drops something. She bends down to pick it up. Alex stands beside his newly planted tree, holding a shovel. As Kate fumbles around on the ground, a mature tree suddenly appears next to her. Its leaf-covered branches shelter her from the rain. Kate looks up, astonished. Alex goes back to his truck. Kate drives her Mustang along a freeway.
Don't worry, Kate. We'll be together in time. Even if we're far apart, I'll find a way to be close to you and take care of you.
Kate pulls up in front of her mother's quaint clapboard house. Inside.
Take this. You should eat more. You're too skinny. Remember how you used to eat when you were little.
Yes, I remember. Now, did you or did you not write to each other?
To your father?
No, to Clark Gable. Yes, to Dad.
They sit down to eat. They serve themselves.
What, Mom?
Before your father.
Yeah?
There was this boy.
Did you love him?
Yeah.
Kate regards her mother thoughtfully.
Why didn't you marry him?
So that you could ask me this question someday.
Gazing at her mother, a warm smile spreads across Kate's face, and they both tuck into their meals. Alex and Henry sit on the lakeshore looking at the lake house.
Looks smaller. When did he complete it?
You weren't born yet and I was 8.
On the walkway, Alex pulls a rope and hoists up a cage with some beers in it out of the water.
Corbusier meets Frank Lloyd Wright.
You know, Dad played cards with both of them.
Sharing a joint.
Yeah, well...
They stand on the roof.
Can't swim. It should be a stairway down to the water, a porch, a deck. Here you're in a box, a glass box with a view to everything that's around you, but you can't touch it. No interconnection between you and what you're looking at.
I don't know. You know, he's got this big maple growing right in the middle of the house.
Containment.
Alex presses a remote and the raised roof section slides apart.
Containment and control.
This house is about ownership, not connection. I mean, it's beautiful, seductive even, but it's incomplete.
They look at the exposed tree.
It's all about him. Dad knew how to build a house, not a home. But you know, I think he wants us to do what he could. But admitting that would mean admitting that he came up short in some way, that he could do more. And that tortures him.
Alex swigs his beer.
Do you remember being here with Mom?
Alex looks at Henry and thinks for a moment.
I remember she tried to make it work here. With us. With him.
Hey, what about Visionary Vanguard?
What about it?
Come on. You can't convince me you're going to be happy building these salt boxes for tourists. Nobody's going to admire you for that.
Admire me for that?
Yeah, Visionary Vanguard. That's your idea.
I can't, but you can keep the name.
No, come on. It's got to be you and me.
Henry, I'm sorry, I can't.
What?
I've got other plans.
Do you have a girlfriend?
They both smile.
No. What is that? You hesitated. That's...
No, I didn't hesitate. Come on, man. I don't have any time for that.
What does time have to do with it?
Oh, you're going to think I'm crazy.
Henry looks serious for a moment. Kate standing on a busy railway platform.
My dearest Mr. Wyler, are you willing to play a game with me? 2 years ago today, I was taking the 145 train to Madison from the Riverside Station, and I forgot something there. It was a gift from my father. If you find it, can you please put it in the mailbox? It would mean a lot. Yours, Kate.
Alex drives his pickup to the suburban Riverside Station. The trees are in blossom. A uniformed guard stands by the open door of a sleek silver-sided train as a family climbs aboard. Alex strolls along the platform, looking around as he goes.
Final call for the 546 to Madison. All aboard!
Alex watches a suited man embracing a young woman with long dark hair. The woman is Kate. Alex looks away. The couple kiss, then Kate picks a bag up off a bench and runs to the train.
How are you?
Kate gets on the train, the doors close and it pulls away. Alex sees something on the bench and goes over for a closer look. On the train, Kate is rummaging through her bag. Alex picks up a book, Persuasion by Jane Austen. Holding the book, Alex runs along beside the train, trying to catch up with it. Kate goes to the window and stares out at him blankly. Alex gives a little wave and slows to a stop as the train moves away. Alex drives back to the lake house where he sits writing. The jagged edges of the maple leaves, like saw teeth, are silhouetted behind him.
Kate, I found it. I have it with me. One day I'll get it to you, trust me. I know how important it is to you. You might not remember, but we saw each other. At least I saw you. You never told me how beautiful you were.
Well, maybe you saw somebody else. That was a bad hair year for me.
Long brown hair, gentle, unguarded eyes.
Okay. You saw me. But I still don't know what you look like.
Kate sits writing.
Well, why don't we just get together in the future and you can let me know what you think?
It's a date.
Kate keeps writing.
Okay. Why don't you call me July 10th, 2006 at 9:05 p.m.
She stares gravely at her cell phone. Kate tentatively picks up her phone, opens it, and holds it to her ear.
Hello?
Kate?
Yes?
It's Morgan.
She stands looking out of the window.
Morgan.
Yeah, I'm here in Chicago. I came down for a meeting, but it was canceled, so I thought I'd give you a call.
Outside a cafe.
Hey, have you eaten?
No,
but neither have I. I just realized I'm totally starving. We could grab a quick bite.
Okay.
Yeah?
Nice.
People skate on an ice rink behind them. Morgan gestures towards an elegant wood-paneled reception area.
Looks pretty good.
Oh.
Perfect.
No, Morgan, it's not.
Trust me.
It's... Okay.
Hello there.
One sec, could you hold on for a moment, please?
We'd love a table for two.
The name?
Oh, we don't have a reservation.
I'm sorry, sir, we're booked until October.
October?
The girl nods.
Well, I'll get back to you.
They walk out. Kate grins.
That went well.
It's no big deal.
Morgan leans glumly on the side of the ice rink.
Oh, come on, stop it. It's the best restaurant in town. Nobody gets a table here.
No, it's not that.
Oh, what is it?
He turns to face her uneasily.
I didn't do this right.
There wasn't a meeting, was there?
You'd see me if there was no big deal.
Mm-hmm. It
was just,
ambush.
You know, coffee and coffee can turn into dinner. Dinner can turn into...
Turn into what?
I'll admit that I do sometimes get a few steps ahead of myself.
But... Morgan, a few steps. You're always leaping 10 steps ahead. We were dating, what, a week? And you had our entire future mapped out for us? Still in my residency, you were picking out real estate. I would go to your house for the weekend. You'd have the entire town in your house to meet me.
Yeah, I do seem to remember that you made pretty fast friends with one of them.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. That guy?
What guy?
The guy I caught you making out with.
I wasn't making out with him. What are we in, junior high school right now?
What do you call it then?
A kiss. It was just one kiss with some random guy that just years ago. You know what?
Gentlemen.
On site.
Unit 381 on Riviera Estates is complete.
It's a large, white, detached house. Alex sits in his truck with Mona. Jack's in the back.
One down.
44 to go.
We're not terrifyingly behind schedule, just alarmingly.
It's going to be okay. The guys are getting another job, but we could use another backhoe. And the water on 14 needs to be resealed.
Shut up.
What?
We're kind of disappointed in you.
Why?
Because you're supposed to be on top of things around here.
Thought I was.
Will you ever notice these?
She shows him her boot.
Don't you remember you told me to get them?
Right, right. Wow. Not exactly what I had in mind, but...
You like them?
I like them.
I think we should go out tonight. If you're not doing it.
Jack? Jack! Jack!
Jack runs off. Alex runs after her. Mona follows. Jack gallops over a bridge over a wide river with a weir in the distance. Jack runs on determinedly. Increasingly exasperated, Alex runs after her. On the far side of the bridge, he looks around, clasping his hands to his head, then walks on, calling out. He finds Jack outside a house. Morgan is there.
Yours, I take it?
Yeah, sorry, thanks. Come here, Jack.
What were you thinking, huh, girl? What were you thinking?
She's never run off like that before.
Keep an eye on them. What's his name?
Her, Jack.
Jack, good name for a girl. I should get one like you for my girlfriend. She loves dogs.
Hey, have we met before?
I don't think so.
Morgan Price.
Alex Water. Hey, man, you need a hand with this?
Yeah. Okay. Is it too long?
Just a few months. I've got a place on the lake.
Late, really?
Alex.
Honey, I've been thinking.
Oh, thank God you found him.
Yeah. Mona? Morgan?
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Nice boots, sir. Listen, just so you don't think I'm going to drink all this by myself, I'm having a bunch of friends over tonight for a party. You two are welcome to come.
Mona smiles.
Oh, hey, Alex. Take my card. I might be looking to rent a place on the lake myself.
Okay.
It's Kate, my girlfriend. She's never really liked this place, and I promised her we'd look for something new once she finishes her residency in Madison. So if you hear of anything.
Sure, she's a doctor.
Yeah.
Alex.
Alex is lost in thought. Gradually, he looks around at Mona.
Well, great to meet you, Morgan.
Great to meet you.
All right.
Alex and Morgan shake hands, then Alex turns to leave.
Morgan, what time's that party at?
8 o'clock. It's Kate's birthday.
Morgan goes into the house. Alex nods and looks at Mona.
It's Kate's birthday. Come on, Jack.
Alex, Mona, and Jack walk off together. It's night, and Kate crosses a road beneath the railway line. Arms folded, she walks into a bar and makes her way over to the counter. An illuminated sign saying The Cove hangs on the wall behind the bar, along with a large stuffed pike. Kate sits on a stool and the bartender turns to her.
Can I get you?
The bartender puts a wine glass on the counter and pours her a measure of white wine. It used to be so easy living here with you. Kate sips her drink and stares at her reflection in a mirror hanging on the wall behind the bar. Anna comes into the bar and walks over to join the short-haired Kate.
Cool.
according to most accepted social norms, a person should not drink alone after 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. Unless they have a good excuse. Mm. What's yours?
Gosh, don't have one.
I do. My youngest left for college this morning. Marie. One day she's splashing around a wading pool in diapers. Then she's packing up a Volvo and driving to California. I just hope she knows what she's getting into.
Don't tell me. Pre-med?
Bingo.
Alex and Mona arrive at Morgan's house.
Hey, how are you? Good to see you. I want you to meet some friends of mine. Alex, Mona, the Wooch, Susan, Johnny.
Hi.
Let's get you something to drink. Come on. Back here. Bar's back here. Come on. Hey, this is Marjorie.
Why didn't you mention it was today? We would have had a cake for you or something.
Mm, it's just time passing. I hate making a big deal out of it.
You keep a lot to yourself. Nothing wrong with it. But I've sometimes wondered what else you have in your life besides work. Family, boyfriend.
Oh, I did. Once. His name was Morgan.
Morgan? Mm-hmm. Morgan. That's a sexy name.
The long-haired Kate arrives home.
Surprise!
She forces a smile as she faces her unexpected guests. Morgan holds a large cake with candles. Alex eyes Kate over Morgan's shoulder.
Kate.
Later, Morgan introduces Kate to the various guests.
This is Alex and Mona.
They shake hands.
This guy's going to help us find our lake house.
Oh.
Right?
Alex nods. Kate and Anna in the bar.
You haven't had cake.
Anyway, well, I ended it. And I'm happy now, and it was the right thing to do.
So, who is it you write to? I couldn't help every time you get a break at the hospital, you're writing something.
There is someone. It's kind of a long-distance relationship.
How did you meet?
Haven't.
What?
No. The story of my life.
You're kidding.
Keep everything at a distance. Everyone. The man who was standing right in front of me, the one that wanted to marry me, him I push away, I run from him. In the meantime, the one man I can never meet, him, I would like to give my whole heart to.
He must write one hell of a letter.
Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Anna sips her drink.
It's safe.
Christ, he's in prison, isn't he?
No.
You're one of those women, aren't you?
No, well, he's just a guy who lives on a lake. He's an architect.
They sip their drinks and Kate smiles. Gradually, the smile fades from her face as something occurs to her. She glances down with a look of concern.
Oh my God.
Back at the party, Kate steps outside, her long hair falling over her shoulders. Alex is sitting on the veranda.
Happy birthday.
She sits down.
Thank you.
I hope it's a great year for you.
Thank you.
She sits with her back to him.
I'm Alex. Lake house guy?
Yeah. How you doing?
She doesn't look round at him. He gets up and walks over to her.
May I?
She doesn't respond, so he sits down beside her.
So you're gonna find us a place on the lake, huh?
I hope so.
Yeah?
If I can.
You're a real estate agent?
No, I just have a lake house.
Oh, is it nice?
Yeah, you'll love it. You're gonna rent it after I move out.
Oh, really?
He smiles. She clasps her hands between her legs and stares out into the night.
Kate, have you read Persuasion?
She regards him a little dubiously.
What?
By Jane Austen.
I know it's by. Yeah, it's
It's my favorite book. Why did you bring something like that up? What made you bring that up?
I just, a friend of mine gave it to me recently, and I was wondering what it was about.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about waiting. These two people, they meet, they almost fall in love, but the timing isn't right. They have to part. And then years later, they meet again. They get another chance. You know, but they don't know if too much time has passed, they waited too long. It's, you know, too late to make it work.
She stares into the distance. Alex nods thoughtfully.
Why do you like that?
I don't know.
No, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's beautiful and
no,
it kind of...
No, it's terrible.
It's terrible. Terrible. That's terrible.
It's terrible.
That's...
Yeah, it's terrible.
Hey, it's a personal question. But have you ever been through anything like that?
No.
Alex looks down and clasps and unclasps his hands, then glances back at Kate.
When I was 16, I was completely in love with this guy. He played guitar, and I ran away from home and went to San Francisco so I could go live with him. Yeah, he convinced me I had a beautiful voice, and I dreamed of becoming a singer.
Alex nods.
I love San Francisco.
He was my first love. Probably the only one.
He must have been a great guy.
I don't know. He may have been. It didn't last long enough for me to find out. Yeah. Truth is, I can't even remember what he looked like.
Really?
Yeah.
It's too bad.
My dad showed up, actually.
Yeah,
he came in. Yeah, I was in trouble. He yanked me back to Chicago. Yeah. And he was sick, and he had these dreams of me becoming a doctor. Yeah. You know, and eventually they became my dreams, too. And he was right. You know, I feel good helping people. And then he died.
She gets up and steps down off the veranda.
Kate.
He follows her as she walks away.
What?
Arms folded, Kate looks up at the sky. Alex walks over and joins her. She thrusts her hands in her pockets.
You.
She looks round expectantly at him, and he shuffles awkwardly.
I just,
What?
Do you know the song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you sing?
No. Nobody wants to hear me sing. You don't want to hear me sing.
I didn't mean, you know. Yeah.
She turns to face him.
But I can dance.
She holds her arms out. Alex steps up to her and takes her right hand in his left, then puts his right arm around her waist. She rests her left hand on his shoulder, and they dance together. It's not so good when you're wrong.
So come to me, now we can be what we wanna be.
Alex gently twirls Kate around and they smile softly at each other. They move closer, arms wrapped around each other. She caresses his shoulder. He nuzzles her neck and holds her close. Alex and Kate stand, their faces inches apart, then share a lingering kiss.
Kate!
They spring apart and see Morgan and Mona.
Hey, Alex was just telling me about the lake house. Yeah, it sounds really great.
Great.
Morgan is unimpressed.
Alex, it's late.
Yeah. Yeah. Good night.
With a last look at Kate, he follows after Mona. Morgan glares over at Kate. Kate stares back at Morgan, a little shamefaced. Kate and Alex sit in a park at different times.
It was you.
Yeah.
Why didn't you say anything?
You would have thought I was crazy, drunk, or both.
Yeah, but I liked you. You should have said something.
How? You were with your boyfriend.
You know what? Excuses, excuses. You are a coward.
I'm not a coward.
Oh, really? Well, what about your girlfriend?
What? I told you already. She's not my girlfriend.
She's not my
remember?
Boyfriend either.
Oh, really? Well, what is he then? Your brother?
Ah, you have a comedian. What'd you have, a clown for breakfast this morning?
Alex returns to the lake house.
Wonderful, our first fight. You could write a song about it and go sing it in San Francisco.
Jack watches him as he plonks some groceries on the kitchen worktop.
What? Hello? Hey, Henry. What?
Later, Alex walks down a corridor in a hospital. He walks over to a nurse sitting behind a desk.
Good afternoon.
Looking for my father. I don't know which room he's in. Simon Weiler?
Mr. Weiler, the architect?
Yes.
I'm Anna Krasinski. I'm the attending for your father.
Hey, what happened? How is he?
He's okay. He's had a heart attack. Fortunately, relatively minor. His vitals are fine and he's stable. But it will require an intervention. He's agreed to schedule it for tomorrow.
Alex nods and Anna pats his arm reassuringly. Alex walks into Simon's room and finds him sitting up in bed, busy working on architectural drawings.
Good to see you're taking it easy.
You didn't need to come. I'm perfectly well.
Simon doesn't look up.
You had a heart attack, Dad.
I had an episode, for Christ's sake! Nothing more. Appreciate it. You kept everything in its perspective.
I just want to let you know I'm here if you need anything.
Alex makes to go.
Coffee.
What?
You heard me.
Coffee.
Alex nods and goes.
There's something I never told you, Kate. You see, it was my father who built the lake house. I mean, with his own hands. And it was a long time ago, before he was famous, when he still had a family and worshipped my mother. Her name was Mary, and the house was a gift for her. She was smart and funny. She could have done anything, but chose to take care of my brother and I and help him build his career. You see, the more successful he became, the more impossible he was to live with. Finally, she just couldn't take living with him anymore. She left him. Within a year, she got sick. Unfortunately, she never learned how to stop loving him. He wasn't at the funeral. When I asked him why...
Alex stops writing. He and Kate are in the hospital cafe at different times.
Go on, Alex. What did he say?
He looks up from the table he's sitting at.
He said she was dead to me the moment she stepped out of the house. And then he gave me one of his Architect of the Year grins.
He stares across the room and time to where Kate is sitting. Alex walks into Simon's hospital room clutching a paper cup of coffee. Simon's sitting up reading a magazine.
I hope you appreciate this. I had to sneak past three nurses and you're attending.
Oh, Jesus. It's not decaf, is it?
It should be, but it isn't.
Simon takes a swig.
Well, that's not bad. Thank you. Son.
You're welcome.
Where's your brother?
I sent him away. He wasn't feeling well. You know how he is. He worries.
Yeah, he gets that from your mother, I'm afraid. She always worried too much.
What are you looking at?
Oh, yeah, here, take a gander. It's a proposal for a museum.
Who is it?
Oh, someone new.
Oh, I like the walkways, where the light falls. What are the materials?
Granite, aluminum.
White panels are straight out of Meyer, but the interior color coming through the front windows, that's different. It's not new, but it's clean, uncluttered. I like it.
When was the last time you were in Barcelona?
Alex thinks.
Years ago, with you, Mom, and Henry.
Do you remember visiting Casa de la Carita?
The almshouse.
That's right. You mentioned Meyer. His Barcelona Museum stands in the same area as Casa de la Carita. It drinks the same light. Meyer designed a series of louvered skylights to capture that light and cast it inward to illuminate the art within. But indirectly, and that was important, because although light enhances art, it can also degrade it. But you know all that already, you son of a... Now this... When do you suppose this is meant to be built?
I have no idea.
Oh, but you said you liked it.
Conceptually.
Oh, come on. You know as well as I do that the light in Barcelona is quite different from the light in Tokyo. And the light in Tokyo is different from that in Prague. A truly great structure. One that is meant to stand the tests of time. Never disregards its environment. A serious architect takes that into account. He knows that if he wants presence... he must consult with nature. He must be captivated by the light. Always the light. Always.
Simon smiles over at his son. Later, Simon lies slumbering in his hospital bed. Alex walks over and sits at his bedside. Alex looks up at his father and regards him thoughtfully. He reaches out and pulls a blanket up over Simon's shoulders. Alex looks down, resting his head on his hand. In amongst shelves of files at the hospital, Kate is busy checking some medical records. She's reading Simon's death certificate, which is dated the 10th of June 2004 and signed by Anna. Kate runs down a hospital corridor and talks to another doctor.
Hey, I have an emergency. Take my shift, please.
Alex answers his mobile as he drives his truck.
Hello?
Mr. Weiler?
Yes?
This is Dr. Klesinski at Chicago City Hospital. I'm afraid I have some difficult news for you.
Kate drives her Mustang up to the lake house.
I'm so sorry, Alex. I wish somehow I could be there with you. That we could sit together and look out over the water in the light in this house your father built.
She puts a letter in the mailbox.
I could be a shoulder for you like you've been for me and tell you that everything is going to be okay. If I could do one thing for you today, from here, one small, simple thing from the future, I hope this is it. It won't be published for a couple of years, but I don't think you should have to wait that long. I hope it helps you know how much you were loved.
Alex takes a copy of a book entitled Simon Wyler Lifeworks from the mailbox. He looks out across the lake towards the setting sun, which casts a golden glow on the water. Inside the house, Alex flicks through the book. He pauses at a picture of his father, then continues turning pages, stopping briefly to read a small caption. He turns more pages until he alights on a picture of his father and himself as a young boy, standing looking at the lake house. Simon has his arm around young Alex's shoulders. The caption under the picture says, Simon Wyler with his son Alex at their lake house project. Struggling to control his emotions, Alex closes the book. The screen fades to black. Later, Alex sits on the lake shore with Jack and looks down at his architectural sketchpad. He picks up his pencil and starts to write. Kate lies on her bed. She has a note from Alex written on his sketchpad. It says, I want to meet you for real this time. They talk across time.
Pick a place. I'll be there, I promise. Tomorrow, what do you say?
But, Alex, it won't be tomorrow for you. You're gonna have to wait.
I know, I don't care. I'll wait!
Are you sure? I don't know.
I do. I've never been so sure of anything in my life.
Okay. I'll see you in 2 years, then.
See you tomorrow, then. Kate, where would you like to go?
In her bathroom, Kate looks up.
Amari.
When were you hoping to dine with us?
2 years from tomorrow.
2 years from tomorrow. 2 years.
From tomorrow.
Kate arrives at the exclusive restaurant.
Hello. Name?
Forrester.
Can I have your name?
Wyler.
Or Wyler. I'm really not sure.
I think we should be able to accommodate you, sir.
Great.
Wyler. Mm-hmm. Wyler. Your waiter will be right with you.
Wearing an evening dress, Kate sits at a table in the restaurant and looks expectantly around. She looks down at the menu, then out of the window. Skaters whiz around the ice rink outside the window. The waiter comes over.
Good evening, miss.
He pours her a glass of champagne.
Complimentary.
She looks around anxiously for Alex, then takes a sip of the champagne. She smiles and looks around the busy restaurant. There's still no sign of Alex. Kate reaches over to Alex's empty place and adjusts the position of the menu on his plate and the cutlery beside it. Time passes and there's still no sign of Alex. The waiter returns.
Another glass for the lady?
She smiles and nods, then looks over to the door, but Alex isn't there. The log fire in the restaurant sheds a rosy glow, but Kate stares glumly over at Alex's empty place. An older woman eating at a table nearby looks over and sees her. She gives Kate a sympathetic smile. Kate glances out of the window at the skaters. A young girl amongst them practices pirouettes. To keep you warm. But most of all, when... As the evening wears on, the number of skaters on the ice diminish. Kate is still alone at her table. She looks down sadly. At the end of the evening, a waiter turns off the fire. Kate is still at her table, staring down morosely. She looks up and glances out of the window. A solitary couple are on the ice. The man picks the woman up in his arms as they spin round. Kate watches them closely. Alex takes a letter from the mailbox at the lake house.
You weren't there. You didn't come.
He looks up from the letter and glances around with a perplexed expression.
I don't understand. Something must have happened. I'm sorry. I've got 2 years, Kate. We can try again.
No, Alex. It's too late. It already happened. It didn't work.
Don't give up on me, Kate. What about persuasion? You told me. They wait. They meet again. They have another chance.
Life is not a book, Alex. And it can be over in a second. I was having lunch with my mother at Daly Plaza. And a man was killed right in front of me. He died in my arms. And I thought, it can't end just like that on Valentine's Day. And I thought about all the people who love him waiting at home who will never see him again. And then I thought, what if there is no one? What if you live your whole life and no one is waiting? So I drove to the lake house looking for any kind of answer. And I found you. And I let myself get lost. Lost in this beautiful fantasy where time stood still. But it's not real, Alex. I have to learn to live the life that I have got.
He puts a letter in the mailbox.
Don't write anymore. Don't try to find me. Let me let you go.
Alex opens the mailbox and is disappointed to find a pile of his uncollected letters are still in it. He adds another one. Later, he puts another letter in the mailbox and pauses to raise the little flag on the side of it. As autumn leaves blow across the lakeside, Alex opens the mailbox. He puts a fresh one on top of the pile of uncollected letters. He walks off. The screen fades to black. In a crowded bar, a bartender pours a drink. Kate is at the bar with her work colleagues. Her mobile phone rings, and she answers it. She sits in a booth.
Hi.
She presses the phone to one ear and her finger in the other against the din.
How long are you here? I'm at a bar with some friends.
Later, Kate sits in a railway carriage that has been converted into a restaurant. Her companion for the meal is Morgan.
It's good. And it was really good to hear your voice. I was surprised how good it was to hear your voice.
He picks up his glass of wine.
So how was your meeting?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got the job.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Telecom company. I'll be in-house counsel. Pays well. And it's here. In Chicago.
He walks her home.
Great news.
He nods and turns to face her. They're outside Kate's apartment block. She glances up at the tree Alex planted.
What?
She cups Morgan's face in her hands and plants a lingering kiss on his lips. It's midwinter, and Alex strolls along a frosty path beside the lake with Jack. Jack hears something up ahead and runs off to investigate. Alex runs after her.
Hey, Jack! Jack!
Alex stops running as Jack disappears amongst some bushes up ahead. He looks down. then glances round the trees at the edge of the lake. After a moment, he turns and walks back the way he came. Back at the lake house, Alex is packing up his belongings as he prepares to move out. He picks up a packing tape dispenser, but before getting round to using it, his eye is caught by a basket of letters. He picks the basket up and sits down. He takes the letters from the basket and stares at them for a few moments before kissing them and putting them in a large cardboard box. He puts the box away in the attic. He glances round the attic room before disappearing down the stairs.
You gonna come down this weekend?
Morgan's in his office.
Just a little bit, not a lot. Okay. No, I heard you. Yeah. Kate, I'm going to have to call you back, okay?
Morgan sees Alex pull up outside in his pickup, which is loaded with boxes. Hard-faced, he puts down the phone and walks out through the glass front door, which has Morgan Price, attorney at law, printed on it. Alex walks up to Morgan.
Still want to rent a lake house? It's what Kate wants.
How the hell do you know what Kate wants?
Alex hands over the keys. Alex walks away, digging his hands into the pockets of his check jacket. Square-jawed Morgan watches him, his eyes narrowed. Jack runs up.
Hey, you. I know you.
Morgan squats down and strokes Jack and glances at Alex. Alex parks his truck in the city and lowers the tailgate. Henry helps him unload boxes. Later, in a cluttered studio, they carry a large table and position it by a window. Alex walks away, then glances back at Henry, who casually throws his arms out and follows. Evening. The office is high above a busy street. Henry stands watching over Alex, who's sitting at the drawing board, making a drawing of improvements to the lake house. There's also a watercolour sketch of the lake house on the board.
What do you think? You're fixing it. You know? Why do you keep tweaking the lake house? Why don't you do your own work?
Because it's hers.
You're, talking about the girl from the future.
Kate.
Henry sits.
You're still riding with Kate?
No.
Why not?
She asked me not to.
Why?
Time.
He glances sadly at Henry.
Hey, come on. This is a good thing. You know, you need a real woman. A woman?
Henry, listen.
Alex leans to Henry.
Listen to me. While it lasted, she was more real to me than any of that stuff. She was more real to me than anything I've ever known. I saw her. I kissed her. Love her. And now she's gone.
Alex looks levelly at Henry, then frowns anxiously, gets up, and walks away, leaving Henry thoughtful.
She's gone.
Sitting in her apartment, Kate flips through TV channels and eventually finds Notorious with Cary Grant and Ingrid Bergman. Morgan's working in the next room.
First thing. How can the ab scissor 4 minute ab machines and your potatoes cooking on the top?
It's nice out here. Let's stay here.
We have to eat.
What you need here, I'll cook.
I thought you didn't like to cook.
No, I don't like to cook. But I have a chicken in the icebox and you're eating it.
What about all the washing up after?
Could you turn that down a little bit?
One for you and one for...
Kate switches the TV off and wanders into the bedroom. She walks across a rug, then stops and stamps on a loose floorboard. Kate frustratedly kneels down and pulls back the corner of the rug. She stamps on the floor and a floorboard flips up, revealing a hole. Holding the wooden plank at an angle, Kate peers into the hole. She reaches in and pulls out a package wrapped in plastic. Kate holds the package up for a moment, then pulls an elastic band from around it. She pulls off one layer of plastic, then another, revealing a very dog-eared paperback novel. She holds the book in both hands and stares at the cover. Persuasion by Jane Austen. Kate lets the book fall open in her hand. There's a pressed flower inside. She picks it up and holds it in the palm of her hand for a moment. She turns the pages of the book and stares at the words. Kate heaves a sigh.
It could have been no two hearts so open. No tastes so similar. No feelings so in unison.
Kate lets the pages flick by, then closes the book and holds it tightly to her chest. The screen fades to black. At a Happy New Year 2006 party, Alex gazes out of the window, lost in his thoughts. Fireworks light up the sky. Alex barely glances at the revelers. Kate stands in a run-down old house. Sunlight floods through a window onto a dusty floor.
Come in.
Morgan walks in, briefcase in hand, and goes over to Kate by the window. He cautiously looks around the place.
Hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
This is what I gave up lunch for?
I know it needs work.
Work? What a wrecking ball.
Found an architect who specializes in renovations. Made an appointment for tomorrow. Huh.
Morgan crouches at the top of the stairs.
Ambush.
Come on. Can't stay in my apartment. We've been there over a year. Don't want to keep moving forward.
Later, Kate and Morgan walk upstairs from a covered white marble atrium and along one of the galleries running along its side.
It's a new firm.
New as in inexperienced?
No, new as in cheap.
They round a corner in the gallery and Kate leads the way into a glass-fronted office and talks to the receptionist who sits behind a desk. The receptionist shows them over to some comfortable chairs in a waiting area and they sit down. A sign on the wall says, Visionary Vanguard Associates. Kate takes a red envelope from her bag and hands it to Morgan.
By the way.
He takes it.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, God, Katie, I didn't get you anything. Sorry, I've just been so swamped.
Kate smiles and shrugs. Morgan opens the envelope. Henry and Alex come out of an elevator in the lobby of a building, go through a revolving door, and step outside onto the sidewalk.
To keep on trying.
Whoa! What is this? It's global warming.
Henry meets Kate and Morgan. Kate and Morgan get up and shake hands with Henry. They all go through into the next room, which is a well-appointed boardroom with a long table, surrounded by stylish leather chairs. Henry sits opposite Morgan and Kate. As they sit down, a colleague of Henry's, Vanessa, comes in. She shakes hands with Kate and Morgan.
Hi, good to see you again.
You too, welcome.
Hey, Morgan.
Hey, Morgan. Vanessa, Vanderbeck.
Wow. So obviously the first thing you see is what we talked about, the atrium.
Wow, that's stunning. So we were able to do it with all the glass panels in the metal structure.
Yeah. Correct.
Hey, you want to get a beer after work?
Sorry, I can't. I'm taking Vanessa out for Valentine's Day.
Alex smiles as he and Henry stroll down the street.
Wait. Say that again.
Valentine's Day today. Taking out Vanessa, my girlfriend. Cold champagne, some oysters, a little chocolate.
What's the day?
February 14th.
February 14th, 2006.
Yeah.
In 2008.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Very excited.
Thank you. And we'll make sure you.
Okay, great again. They were just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Kate sees something.
Katie, I gotta get back to work.
She waves him off and looks at a sketch of the lake house.
Drawing?
My brother did, actually.
Who's your brother?
Alex Weiler. Did you know him?
Kate smiles.
Yeah, I know. Do you know how I can get in touch with him? Is he anywhere that I can?
I'm sorry. He died 2 years ago today, actually.
Tears start to well up in Kate's eyes.
There was an accident.
Henry smiles sadly. Kate tries to fight back the tears and bites her lip as she stares at the sketch of the house. Henry looks down miserably. Something occurs to Kate.
Where?
Morgan follows Kate along the gallery outside Henry's office.
Kate!
She doesn't look back at him.
Wait, just stop. God damn it, answer me. What's the matter? Kate.
They run down the stairs to the atrium.
Kate!
2 years earlier, Alex is driving his old pickup truck along a freeway. He seems to be in a hurry. In 2008, Kate drives her old Ford Mustang down the same freeway. She bites her lip as she fights back tears. Alex's pickup arrives at the lake house and parks up. He gets out and runs into the house. There's snow on the ground as Kate parks her Mustang outside the lake house. She quickly scribbles a note. In the attic of the house, Alex opens the box containing the letters and takes one out. Kate gets out of her car, runs over to the mailbox and posts the note she's written, putting the little flag up on the side of the box as she does so. She waits anxiously and says a little prayer, then gets on her knees and sobs into her hands. Extracts from the letter Alex is reading, Valentine's Day, Daily Plaza. Kate reaches out to the mailbox. Valentine's Day 2006 in Daily Plaza.
60 degrees on Valentine's Day. This cannot be Chicago.
The TV says it's global warming.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's a dangerous thing.
Alex.
He walks up the street.
I know why you didn't show up that night. It was you at Daily Plaza that day. It was you. Please don't go. Just wait. Please. Don't look for me. Don't try to find me.
Alex sees Kate and her mother in the plaza.
You. And it's taken me all this time to say it, but I love you.
In 2008, she weeps beside the mailbox.
And if you still care for me, wait for me. Wait with me. Just wait. Wait.
He starts to step off the curb. By the lake house, Kate sees the flag on the mailbox lower. Back in 2006, Alex looks at Kate's letter.
Wait 2 years, Alex. Come to the lake house. I'm here.
Alex remains on the sidewalk and looks across at Kate and her mother in the plaza. A flock of pigeons nearby them rises into the air. In 2008, Kate kneels staring at the mailbox. She hears a vehicle approaching. She gets to her feet and walks towards the vehicle. She starts to smile. Alex walks towards her. They smile as they approach one another. They stand facing each other.
You waited.
Alex leans forward, cupping her face in his hands, and kisses her passionately on the lips. Kate responds, and they kiss urgently. The couple embrace, and Kate rests her head on Alex's shoulder, smiling contentedly. They kiss again, more gently, then smile at each other. The couple look over at the lake house. With their arms round each other, they walk up the path towards it, kissing as they go. The screen fades to black.